that said they had walked for 3 days, some for 7 days from the way in the interior to hear the word of God. And then they would not, they didn't have television or anything like that that's in that area. They didn't have electricity. I said, if I was to give one message to them, and that's the only thing, and they would never hear anything else, what would I give them? So this is a question I want to ask you this morning. If there is this one opportunity that a person has and they would never hear about the Lord again, what would you share with them? So just want to kind of tickle your intellect and your spirit. So I pray, Lord, what would you have me say? What is the one thing that I should share with them? And so in that context then, I want to share with you what the Lord gave me to share with them. And it's, we can turn if you want to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And it's in, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So today, right now, a divine energy is coming over you. I call it the glory, but it's the living presence of God. And whenever it comes, it does just something totally way beyond what you have hoped, desired, or dreamed. Some years back in Costa Rica, I mean, I'm going from places all over, but I was holding a big crusade, and the woman who was in the prayer line, and as I was laying hands on people, this very strong, tall lady took my hand and put it under her blouse. And I said, oh, Jesus, help me. And put it right on her breast. And then I realized, I smelled, and then I saw she lowered her. And it was rotting flesh. She had breast cancer. It had been untreated. And I could see the blood, and I could see the dead tissue. And I was so embarrassed because, and then I knew Bonnie was flying in later that night from, so do you know where your husband laid hands? And I was so, my main thing was I was embarrassed. I wasn't praying for anything. So in Jesus' name, let go. After a few minutes, the pastor's there in Costa Rica tapped me on the shoulder, said, look up. And she was on the stage, and she was saying, showing to thousands. She put down her blouse and her bra and said, see what God has done. And the dead flesh had been recreated and was like a little baby's. And God healed her in those few moments. So what did it? It was the presence of the Lord. That's why I'm saying in this kind of meetings, there is a vibration, there is an electricity, and a presence from the glory. And you want to get in tune with that, not only for yourself, but for your family. You want to grab the promises of God. So here, one of the primary words, this is one of the basic words that when the first meeting, first night in Kikwit, that's one of the cities in the Congo, in the Zaire. And there were thousands there. Bonnie, my wife, was there. Anyway, it says, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me in time.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. Behold the Lamb of God." Say, "Behold,
behold
the Lamb of God, who takes away
the
sins of the whole world." So that was the basic message I give. I remember, who is the Lamb of God? It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He does what? He takes away the sins of the whole world. That's amazing. No one else in history can say that. No one in the whole realm of the galaxies can say he has taken the sins of all mankind. So, and then I explain who the Lamb is, what he did, what are the pre-shadows, how do we recognize, what does this connote, what does the Lamb do? And way at the back, there was a young, about 14-year-old boy that was listening carefully to this message. And he had been born a cripple. So he had been crippled from his waist down, and his legs were like almost like little twigs almost. They were spindly. And all his life, when he was able to be a little more adult, they had arranged so that he could, there was a body cart, a wooden cart they had made for him and little wooden wheels. And he would lay his body on that cart and push himself around. So he would, later as he grew older, after 10, 11, 12, he would crawl around the city of Kikwit and get whatever he could for his sustenance. And as I was preaching, I heard the crowd clapping. I said, "What is happening?" And then the local pastors pointed to, and right down the middle aisle, because I was just focusing on the big crowd, and I didn't see the detail that there was this little figure of this boy. And now suddenly, see, he had listened carefully to the Word of God, and the power of that Word hit him, and resurrection power went through his body, and he stood up. He had never done that. And he started walking towards me. And other people in the city who had known about his story, his life, they knew, recognized him. And there they saw him very cautiously, but he was walking on those spindly legs and the creative power of the Lamb of God. That's the guy, that's the boy who was walking, that's his picture that we were able to tag. And then he had never had a pair of shoes. So I believe we have another second picture, whatever there is of him, but he was walking. Yeah, that's me there with him. My head has been cut off. But I'm standing with him. We were able to buy him his first pair of shoes, and he was standing with us. But this, the Lord, I mean, he had told me, I felt like the impression was, tell him about the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb, as you see John the Baptist identified Jesus as the one. And therefore, by the way, that's the reason why, if in the scriptures, who was that we have had so many great prophets, from Moses to Joshua to Elisha to Elijah, all of the Jeremiah. But who is considered the greatest prophet? It is John the Baptist. Why? Because he got the privilege of introducing the Lamb of God officially. That was the highest privilege ever, to hear usher in the one who gives hope to every family and every person. So therefore, we see therefore, now I want to go to the reference then of the Lamb in the Old Testament. And I will refer, let you know what I'm speaking from, the where we see the first reference to the Lamb of God. So it's present in the Old and New Testament. And as this word transformed that young man's life, I just pray that the grace and the glory and the wonder of the Lamb of God touch your life, to give you hope, to give you encouragement, and that just as what was so different about that young man, the thing was that by faith he was able to connect with the Word of God and then become one with the Word of God. I mentioned in some ways, I mean, I connect. So Friday night I made a humorous reference, and I said one of the greatest apostolic movies is Kung Fu Panda. And that all his life he's been called, you are just a big fat panda. You are just, but at the end, he connects with his destiny. And when he faces the enemy, he says, I'm not just a big fat panda. I am the big fat panda. And that you are, in some ways, if I can say it again, is you are not just an ordinary person. You are the big fat panda, because that you are able to identify with your destiny, your purpose through Jesus Christ. You guys, that's fast there. So, anyway, but the word is vibrating around you. And often, I mean, I've had the Lord has been good where I've been able to be around in the presence where you become one, that you are so blessed that every cell of your being is rejuvenated. So often we talk about religion and theology and all that, and it becomes lifeless. But I have seen the glory, the presence of the Lamb of God come. And literally, when all the doctors were saying, my son is dying, that the golden glory, literally seen by several, and the chief head nurse was there and was completely, I mean, weeping as she was around the glory, and it came and healed my son. So it is personal. It is not out there, well, yeah, do you agree with this? Maybe I can agree. No, I don't agree with it. It's nothing like that. And say, if you don't want it, fine. I'll take all of it, whatever you don't want. I'll be happy to take it. Lord, I often say, Lord, they don't want it. Whatever you had for them, I'll take theirs also. But I want to, all of you, it's for all. All have fallen short of the glory. But God so loved the world, he sent his son to die for you. So then we go back then. And I pray this become a living revelation, that whenever you get discouraged, whenever you feel inadequate, that it is, number one, it is, realize it's not about you. It's about the Lamb of God and what he has done to redeem you, to bless you, and to bless your children and your grandchildren, that you can pray in his name and see impossible things become possible. That as I want to give you this word today, that this is, I mean, as never before, this is the season where God is making your dreams favor. He's adding favor to you. He's making your dreams possible. And I encourage young people, I encourage people all over to dream big dreams and apprehend them and pray the supernatural favor of God and His might and glory to help release your children from whatever bondages and release all of us from limitations and get into the promised land provision. So that was as Moses got his commission before the, remember the burning bush, and how many of you have seen the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston, have you? Yeah, and saw the burning bush, and out of it the voice of God speaks. And that, what was that golden light? That's in a sense the cinematic expression of the glory. That there is the glory of God is only around the Lord God Almighty. It's around Jesus. And it says, as the Moses has that confrontation, not confrontation necessarily, but the meeting with this burning bush. And as he gets the commissioning, is, I'm sending you basically to set my people free, that Israel has been enslaved for 400 years, but I'm giving you the anointing and the commission to set my people free. And then Moses asks, who shall I say set me? And from the burning bush, the voice of the Lord comes, I am that I am. Tell them, I am sent me. And then you come to the New Testament, and they come to Jesus, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. It's the same person whom Moses met. I am that I am. So he is, and Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am. How then, Lord, how then are we going to set millions? I mean, it was about approximately, scholars think there were about 3 million people or 3 million plus. Sometimes in some places, they would not, according to the ancient custom, they would count the men and the women, so you could double the amount. So, Lord, how are we going to set them free? Are you going to send your army? Are you going to send multiple hundreds of thousands of warring angels? How will you set them free? From the greatest army and armed forces of that age, that was the might of Egypt. We were the most powerful nation at that time, in that realm of civilization. And this is the answer. How? Exodus 12. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Lamb according to the house of his father, lamb for a household. Say, a lamb for a household. Lamb for a household. Now, connect that with John chapter 1. Behold the Lamb of God. This was before Jesus came, literally. This is what we find with the prophetic meaning of the lamb. The power of, it says, if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a lamb, male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire. You shall have none of the remain until morning. And thus shall you eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So we are talking about the meaning. What is the Passover? Or, in a sense, in the context of the calendar, it is what we celebrate as Easter. And then, verse 12, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night, will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. So here is the assignment. Take the lamb. Each family must apprehend the lamb for themselves, a lamb for a household. And therefore, you find that as we believe in the Lord, you can believe for the whole household. The lamb's blessing is for the whole household. You can say, well, Lord, just think of a city in the United States that has a population of about 3 million people. And say, the assignment is, we are going to start to get out of Baltimore. I don't know what Baltimore population is, about 2 million? I have no idea. Any big city. You move now. Overnight, 3 million people. How many, just think, how many are in intensive care in that city? How many have had heart surgery? How many on kidney dialysis? How many ambulances would you need? How many wheelchairs would you need if you are now have to move the whole population? At midnight, you're going to all walk out of Miami and walk north. Just think of that. And the Lord said, you're not going to need ambulances, wheelchairs, because I've given you the lamb, and you take the blood. And it seems like, are you kidding me? Take the blood, put it in the doorpost and the lintel, eat the flesh of the lamb. And the Lord says, by the power of the lamb, by the grace of the lamb, by the uniqueness of the blood of the lamb, I'm bringing you out of Egypt. I'm setting you free from every shadow, from every power of Egypt. The bondage is broken, and you're going to come out. And it says in the Psalm 105, it's very interesting. I wish I had time to read the whole thing. And said that Moses performed signs among them, wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness. He turned their waters into blood, killed their fish. You see that in the Ten Commandments. Swarms of flies, lice, hail. And then it goes on. As he breaks the curse, let's think, you are the They had been slaves for 400 years. They had not been paid any wages. They are not only poor, like as they say in the South, they're poor. Right? Poor. I mean, they didn't have anything. And yet the Lord breaks the curse of generational poverty. His supernatural presence is over them. Later, as we see, there is a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, which is basically the Holy Spirit power, the third person of the Godhead, over them. And it's verse 37 in Psalm 105 says this: He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble in their midst. He brought them out with silver and gold. So God not only turned around their poverty, He broke the poverty curse. And He brought them out with silver and gold and not one feeble in their midst. During this Passover season, suddenly I was sharing some of these ideas and I started singing. He brought them out with silver and gold, silver and gold, silver and gold. He brought them out with silver and gold, not one feeble in their midst. Just think, heart disease, kidney disease, non-ambulatory, wheelchair patient, dialysis, it did not matter. Not one feeble in their midst, and they're walking out. Why? So all the curse of poverty overnight broken. They had had to worship some of the demonic gods of Egypt. They had been forced to do all of the kinds of crazy stuff with the Egyptians. And remember, there's another movie, I think Steven Spielberg made or animated, The Prince of Egypt. And then Moses goes before the sorcerers, and they have power. And they sing this song. It's fun. You can look it up on YouTube, and it says, the sorcerers say, "You're playing with the big boys now. You're playing with the, you can't, unless you have the real stuff, you're playing with the big boys." Well, they throw down their staff, and Moses throw down his staff, and Moses, they turn into snakes, and Moses, snake swallows everybody, and then he turns into the rod. So the thing is, as you connect with the Lamb of God, that He gives you empowerment and anointing, you have ability to take authority over every demonic force of darkness. That no weapon formed against you can prosper. It does not mean you will not have challenges, but when you are confronted by the challenges, you can say, "You are bound in the name of Jesus, and you can in no way harm. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world." So the authority of the Lamb of God, the power of the Lamb of God, the ability of the Lamb of God, as you worship and honor King Jesus and make Him Lord and Savior, it is important that for us all to get a fresh revelation. Revelation means it is not just knowledge, it's not head knowledge, but it is revelation. It becomes yours. When my son, both my sons, were healed of terminal conditions and the glory of God manifested, it became an inheritance for Bonnie and I. We knew that you know, Jesus, the Lamb of God, heals us. We had to lay hold of all the provision and the grace He has made towards you. And we exercise personally faith in what He has done. So we had flown from that region called Kikwit. We were in a place, Kisangani, and then we administered again in Kyokut. At that place, the sorcerers, and some of you have seen it, if you have read my book, Only Love Can Make a Miracle, that the sorcerer, talking about the sorcerers reminded me, the sorcerers in Egypt. Well, there were sorcerers in the Congo that most of the population there, if they wanted something to happen for their health, to have children, whatever, they would go to a sorcerer to get sorcery medicine, some kind of sorcery amulet. So they came as I was proclaiming the gospel of the Lord. They knew, I mean, thousands were giving their lives to Jesus. And therefore, they were not, I was taking their business away because they were not going to go to the sorcerers. And so they were outside of the city. They were doing all this sorcery magic ceremony around this big magic tree called, it was called the sorcerer's tree that had magic power in it. And the Lord, I felt impressed upon me that there was some kind of dark occult forces trying to attack us. And I took authority over it and said, I break the curse of sorcery over this area. At that time then, the people, I mean, were witnesses, saw, they said literal fire came from the sky and burned that sorcerer's tree. I think we may have a picture there. Anyway, and so the flame came from the top down. And in, you see the tree has burned from the top down, but to the height of a man or more, it is untouched from the ground up. So the fire came from top down. Anyway, it burned the eyes of the sorcerer. Several days, they couldn't see. And then they all repented. And until they repented, they could not see that they were blinded. And that when I was going to the airport, they all came to see me. They said, we have turned our lives over to Jesus Christ. And they brought offerings. And there were offerings of termite ants and goats and other things. That's a long story. I said, I don't think I can take the goats or these termite ants as hand luggage. Thank you. Take this back to feed the poor. But as an apostrophe on this story is that about a year and a half ago, Bonnie and I were in Germany, in Tübingen, Germany, and this beautiful African young lady came running up and gave me a big hug and said, you are my papa. You're my papa. And I looked at Bonnie and I said, I don't think I know her. And they said, she said, her name is Irini. And she said, do you remember the chief sorcerer in that city? I said, in the Congo? I said, yes. She said, he came to the Lord, gave his life to the Lord, and my whole family came to the Lord. And my mama was his daughter. And then later we immigrated to Germany. And I grew up in Germany. I'm a Christian. And she's one of the leading doctors of Tübingen. Her name is Irini. And that's why she said, Papa, because the family all came to the Lord. And her granddad was the chief sorcerer. Who came to the airport and said, we have given our lives to Jesus. So that's, in the sense of the Lord bound the power of the sorcerers that Moses met and the yokes of sorcery and witchcraft and every dark power has to bow to the power of the Lamb. So this is, he's bringing us out with silver and gold, silver and gold, silver and gold. He's bringing me out with silver and gold, not one feeble in our midst. So there is a thing where we, not only as individuals and families, but we as a community of faith need to apprehend by faith afresh the power of the Lamb. We have to once again, with faith, as individuals, as a family, and as a community, as a church of Jesus Christ, we say, behold the Lamb of God and His power. We have in so many regions of this nation, I mean, there are places so tormented by the power of addiction, with opioid addictions, thousands in America dying. There is so much cocaine addiction. There is so much gang warfare. There is spirits of violence and division. All of that, that is, we can call on the power of the Lamb, that we once again, in a special, fresh way, connect with what Jesus has done. So as that little boy started walking up, basically I had shared with them, this is Jesus. He took our pains, He took our distresses, our iniquities, our sins, and by His stripes we were healed. But not only reprehend it for ourselves, but then start for every member of our family where they need deliverance. There is power in the Lamb of God. So it is not a one-time thing only. I believe that we corporately as believers can freshly apply the blood of Jesus on the doorposts and lintels of houses. Where you have children growing up, you as heads of families, as mothers and fathers, you say, devil, you cannot touch my child. Drug addiction, you cannot touch my child. I am pleading that on the doorposts and lintels of my house, I am putting afresh the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. Where people are oppressed by oppression, where there are anxiety attacks, where so many get attacked like that in our era right now, we have to once again renew our faith in the Lamb of God. Behold afresh the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world, who takes away the power, satanic power that is robbing us as a culture. So there was, for centuries, the Jewish people would say, but Passover, why is this night different from all other nights? It's because this is the time where the power of the blood of Jesus was released. This is the time where the flesh, by taking on the curses on Himself, He released us from every power of the curse and broke the yoke. Moses, where the children of Israel were concerned, it was called the house of bondage, their season of captivity. And then it's a Passover is the season where the Lord said, you are no longer going to be slaves. The yoke is broken. You are free, and the power of the blood of Christ eternally speaks of great things. It is right now for you speaking of blessing for you. The blood is not crying out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus has a voice tonight to bless you. So we are in, especially as you see this season, I talked a little on Friday about the the difference we see, that as we see the curse being lifted, that we are, again, when there is poverty, when there is tremendous joblessness, it means there is some kind of curse for me is at work. Things are not working out. Suddenly there is a turnaround. We have nearly full employment. It has not been seen for a long time. It's one of the aspects of a new season at hand. We must catch this season as prophetic people and say, we're going to lay hold of it. And I'm pointing you to the source of it, that this is connected more than ever and above all with Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross. Behold the Lamb of God. So where I am not afresh beholding every day the awesomeness of the finished work of Jesus and the awesomeness of his blood that was, I remember the Kinshasa in the main city, the crowd grew. I was there, one of the historic times I was there was where the gathering supernaturally, because of the miracles that were happening, grew to 100,000 the first night, and then at the end of the week, more than 500,000. The president himself had to release his personal bodyguard army to help give us security. And at that time, the sorcerers of Kinshasa said they are going to come together to put a curse on the meeting. And I asked the Lord, what should I do? He said, you just wait and see, because I am going to show them that one drop of the blood of Jesus can destroy the kingdom of darkness. And many of the sorcerers turned their lives over to Jesus Christ as they saw the miracles. I won't take time to relate all of them. But I see over the United States, we have just learned to wear nice clothes, but the warfare is pretty much the same. There are satanic forces. There are powers of darkness that would keep our children in bondage, would keep our culture in bondage. And God wants to once again speak to the heart of the church, saying, you have drifted away from the foundational truths of behold the Lamb of God. And that as you're not only just, it's not just barely you're going to make it, but God wants you to be in a season of overflow, that you are not only going to ends meet, but come to the blessing of the Lamb, that through, it says in 2 Corinthians 8:9-9, talks about the grace of the Lord. And he says, Jesus, know the grace of the Lord, who he took all the poverty. He became poor so that you, through his poverty, might be rich. So say, I, through his poverty, be made rich. So this is the exchange. As we look at the Lamb, we are looking at the exchange at the cross. The Lamb of God, Jesus himself, took all the sins of every family on earth. He took every sickness. When my son was suffering and they were measuring his pain, and it was the most heartbreaking thing as he was screaming in agony, and they couldn't give him medication. And then suddenly the golden cloud descended on him and he started smiling. And I could not understand, because all the things the monitors were indicating he was having all of that pain. But somehow something was sucking up that pain. And I realized in that moment, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, was taking his pain at that moment. And by his stripes, my son was being healed. And he's now, you know, 36 years later, 37, he's still healed. So this is, he has poured out so many blessings for us. He brought them out with silver and gold, not one feeble in their midst. So 3 million people walking out overnight. Isn't that something? And he did that through the blood and through the body of the Lamb of God. Then we, they were brought into, with a part of that, if you will see, there are some renditions I love to see in Google. You put in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and you will see this, the tents of thousands of tents, east, west, north, south, and then there is a main tent in the middle, and there is a glory cloud. I mean, just like awesome golden cloud in the middle that's protecting everybody. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The glory of God is over all the community so that no enemy could touch them. That was the presence of God. So part of the blessing of the Lamb of God is ongoing presence of the glory over you and over your home. May the glory tent be like a canopy over each of your homes, and you be blessed in that. And that's why it makes you, I will never get tired of worshiping the Lord, of thanking the Lord. I will never get bored of, oh, well, how long is this worship going on? And no. I am so grateful that we can give thanks and worship and give him praise hour after hour. And by the way, that keeps you connected with that glory. So get, this is the season, I believe, of an overflow of blessing. Because, I mean, you know, I talked about it a little in Friday night. With our blessing Israel, which is his favorite, in Jerusalem, which is his city, the city of David, which Jesus is coming back to, that as we moved our embassy, there is, I believe, in this season, there is a way in which God wants to bless our nation. And I want to get in the overflow. How many of you would like to get in the overflow? Say, I want the overflow. For me and my kids. All right, so I got 4 kids. I not only think about myself, I'm thinking about them. May they get favor and blessing. Think of your children, included, because the Lamb's blessing is for the whole household. So always include them in prayer. And then, so in the overflow, I want to pray for you in a few moments. But when you get in the overflow, Lenny asked me, where would you like to lunch? Well, I'm literally country. You know, I've gone all over and all that. I like Cracker Barrel. Mine are not expensive tastes. But if you go to some of these restaurants, diners, they'll have the cup turned upside down. And if you want some coffee, you turn it right side up. That indicates the waitress, you are ready for the overflow. You are ready for, and they may ask you, regular or decaf, that's all. And you, well, many of you, I've learned, I was thinking about it, I watched, that we need to, in the spirit realm, you need to sit down and turn your cup right side up so God can pour it in. Some of you, and that's really connected with our faith, that I am expecting a miracle. I'm expecting blessing and breakthrough and healing. And we have become lazy in our faith. The faith is something we need to exercise more and more. So one of the things I would encourage you with, not criticizing, but there is so much that God wants to release over us as God's people, over our families, and over our nation. But we have to exercise faith and catch the wave, catch the moment, not miss it, because the Lord's presence is walking by. Often I've had words for people, and I will say, this is happening. I had that time I told you about the story where the Lord said, wake up, Sleeping Beauty. And that night I went and did a miracle service for this organization in Chicago. We had nearly 2,500 people. But I had a word. I stopped in the middle and I said, God wants to deliver someone. There's a young lady here who's been driven by suicide, and God wants to deliver you right now and heal you. And as a family, the head of the organization, and they've shared this publicly several times, so I'm not sharing something I shouldn't. But their daughter, Cassie, had been horribly molested, and it so traumatized her, she had to be institutionalized. And she couldn't let any man near her. She was trying to kill herself. So she was under pretty much lock and key at the institution, but they would let her come and visit her mother every month. Police would help bring her to mother. And she had just, the mother of course was there in the helping organize the meeting, and the police had brought her, and she ran away from the police and was, I think, on the 18th floor trying to jump to commit suicide. And then they were able to catch her. They brought her down, and she talked to police and just, I need to go at least hug my mother before you take me. So she was coming through the door, and I stopped and I said, there's a young lady here who's trying to commit suicide. I didn't know anything about her story. And it was her. And she came in, and I laid hands on her, and she got delivered from the whole horrible trauma that she went through. She got not only delivered, but became a presidential scholar. Not only that, she got a degree in counseling. She went to China, and she started helping thousands in China. Eventually a major organization connected with her. And now she oversees the direction of a major part of the underground church. In fact, approximately 32 million believing Chinese Christians are being led by her and guided by her. So about a year ago, I was in Chicago again, and the head of that organization that he's giving the responsibility to Cassie said, I got to meet the man who helped Cassie be free. And I met him. But just think of that young lady wanted to commit suicide, felt so worthless, totally under yoke, and the glory of God came to set her free. But not just to set her free. She had a destiny to affect thousands, and now millions of Christians, she's helping oversee their destiny. And I realize we have barely begun to touch the hem of his garment, that we need to keep on keeping on, holding on, for us, for our children, for our church, and the churches in this community, that we would have major deliverance, major revival. He is bringing you out, bringing us out with silver and gold, and not one feeble in our midst. And it doesn't matter what others do. You are coming into that season. You making a decision. We are going to get a fresh revelation. I am going to behold the Lamb of God as never before. Not only on my behalf, but on behalf of all my children and my church and my fellow believers. He's bringing us out. And he is the awesome Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Say, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, glory, blessing, might, riches. Amen. Glory to God. Give him a big clap. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So next time, do you take communion once in a while? Do you? You realize what the blood and the bread mean, or the wine, the cup, and the piece of bread. So we, you know, we do it often. And our, you know, some of you know I traveled often, more than anybody except his wife, with this great apostle and teacher of the word, Derek Prince. You'll find his teaching on God TV, on YouTube. And I got to serve him for about 23 years. And as I was just a young disciple many years ago, in the mid-70s onwards, and as we'd travel, like I talked about Zambia, and or wherever we would go, in Pakistan, we would have lunch, and then he would knock on my hotel door around 1:30, and he would have the communion elements. And he said, and we were not in church, we were just out there ministering. And he said, "I'm ready for communion, are you?" I said, "Yes, sir." So, I mean, it was not on Sunday or anything, it was every day. Whenever we could, we would take communion together, because we knew part of the secret of being able to minister to people and to have the strength, the faith, and the anointing, we needed right then the power of the blood. We needed to freshly, right at that moment, that night, latch on to the Lamb of God. So this, right now, this day, we're going to say, "Lord, as never before, there is a lamb for a household. It's my household, and I'm going to get all the blessing. He is bringing me out with silver and gold, and bringing my church out with silver and gold. Not one feeble in our midst." Hallelujah. Amen. Lenny, you want to say something?
We're going to receive an offering and send our brother on the way in a manner worthy of the Lord. And as you're preparing that, let me reassure you that the financial integrity of this house is secure. Whenever we receive an offering for anything, every penny goes to what we say it's going to. It's very important to me that we be people of integrity. Gentlemen, as you're preparing to come forward and receive this offering, the couple of things I want to underscore regarding what Mahesh has been teaching all this weekend. One has to do with the issue of faith. The scripture does say God has given to every person a measure. Now, your measure remains at its inception until you begin to interact with the truth so that your faith can increase. So you start where you are, but as you begin to engage the revelation of the truth, your faith grows, because faith is not some ethereal thing. The word pistos, the Greek word pistos, means the confidence that you have in God. And all of us have a certain confidence, but that confidence can grow as we begin to interact with him. So as you listen to what's being said, you want to continue to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to expand the truth that you understand. What you know here is knowledge. But as we keep saying, what you know here is revelation, and that's the thing that secures you in the trials of life. Gentlemen, would you come forward, please? As we get ready to move toward the prayer time, keep in mind that the things you have just heard are apprehendable by the grace of God. Okay? We've been sitting in this atmosphere now. This is the third day. So you can anticipate angelic activity, you can anticipate revelation, you can anticipate intervention into the course of nature, because God has a history of intervening into the course of diseases and the course of nations and the course of understanding. And those things are apprehendable by the Holy Spirit. Gentlemen, if you would, Father, we want to thank you right now for our participation in what you're doing in the earth through this remarkable ministry and the decades of accumulation of your testimonies. We thank you, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to administrate your grace during this time of prayer and blessing and those things which are to come. This weekend can be the fresh beginning for all of us in apprehending the things to which you have been exposed. I want to remind you, those of you who were not able to be with us yesterday, we have password protected the seminar, the questions, and the answers that contextualize the answer. So if you'd like to have access to that, to our experience yesterday, just contact the office. They'll give you the password. You'll be able to delve farther into this. Are you ready to continue, sir?
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all the seed. And seed grows, multiplies. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I just, the Lord right now is just, there is a, just, I can smell the fragrance of the Lord here right now. And he's touching different people. By the way, there is a family that you have either battling some kind of lawsuit or an IRS difficulty. Who are you? Where are you that you need some? It's a lawsuit. God is helping break change, but one of them is he's breaking that bondage. If there is something that is difficulty with the IRS, that God, I feel like he's sending his angels to help you, give you victory in this right now. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. Let the Lamb come in your glory, Lord. And if you've been in some kind of traumatic accident, you did, and the pain of that accident, a physical accident. You were in some kind of vehicular thing. Just wave your hand where you are. That there was some damage to your body, your neck, your body. Where are you? Is that who? Your brother? His name is what? Theo?
Theo.
Okay. Just stand up for a moment. We'll, and your neighbor, just put your hand on their back gently. So we thank you for this trauma to go and for Theo. And is that for you yourself who are in accident or someone else? Is that yourself? Yeah. Okay. That's all right. Well, I think the effects were there to thank you, Father. And yeah. Right now, we release the angels in Jesus' name. Also, there is someone, either you or your someone's family here, It stays on kidney. I've talked about kidney problems, kidney dialysis. Now, you guys can sit down. If there is a kidney problem in someone's family, where is it? There's a creative miracle for a kidney. Is that you? Your mother? What's her first name? Cheryl. Hallelujah, Cheryl. Praise God. We just thank you, Lord, for a creative miracle in Cheryl's kidneys now. In Jesus' name. That he's bringing her out with silver and gold, with victory. And not the kidney is not going to be feeble. In Jesus' name. There's also some kind of a knee surgery that someone had, but did not work well. They had meniscus, whatever it was. But knee, yeah, stand up for a moment. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to lay hands in a little bit for you guys. But often the word comes and you just take it, all right? And you start apprehending it right now. I mean, I don't need to lay hands. It's the word comes and touches your knees and gives you a creative blessing right there in Jesus' name. Thank you. And a lady, it's not, I don't know how old, but God's giving you a new bladder too. So stay connected where the knee is. And some of you will feel a fire or a heat going through that body. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The torn rotator cuff of someone's shoulder, that your shoulder has been really hurting. It's the rotator cuff. Are you here? Is what? Is the shoulder? Yeah. Well, all right. Just stand there, and you too, young lady back there, that have someone, a couple of people go and lay hands on these people. Thank you. Often, if the Bible says you will lay hands on the sick will recover. And that's the word. And we are just exercising that word. We are believers today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And start swinging your shoulder. If you can see if the pain is a little better. And start thanking the Lord. Thank you, Father. Huh? There's no pain? The Lord took that pain. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give the Lord a thank you. Yes, sir. Praise God. And he's working. As I've talked about Behold the Lamb, by the way, if there is someone here, you have never officially received Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the Lamb of God who takes away. I want you to connect with him officially in this kind of thing and say, Pastor Mahesh, I need to receive him officially as my Savior, as the Lamb of God. I want to behold him afresh. I've never done this, but I want to do it right now. If you never had a chance to do that, wave your hand at me and say, Brother Mahesh, I want to pray that way. Also, if you never had the baptism in the Holy Spirit, of getting the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can stand up right now saying, Brother Mahesh, I've never had received the Holy Spirit. All right, just stand wherever you are. Bless you. Bless you guys. Yeah, bless you, hon. And the Lord, you'll find, in fact, if the guys who are standing, would you mind coming and standing here? And stand before me if you don't mind. Okay? Yeah, don't be nervous. And you can, if you're helping your friend, you can come too. Hallelujah. I want the team, the prayer team that's here, to come and stand behind them. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Chase.
Huh?
Chase.
What's your name?
Stephen.
Stephen. Amen. What's your name?
Alec.
Jack. Yes. What's your name?
Marina.
Marina. Yes. What's your name? Huh?
Bethany.
What's your name, sweetie?
Catherine.
Wonderful. Huh?
Tracy.
Sorry. Wonderful. Coming? Oh, you're helping. Yes. Thank you, guys. The helpers kind of just stay behind. And sometimes the Lord will zap you well. People kind of may get on the floor. Who knows? So the ones receiving, this when I received, I didn't have anybody helping me. Today you are doubly blessed because there is someone here who knows about this stuff and is able to officially pray for you. So God loves you already. And I want you to raise your hands. Those of you who want the Holy Spirit, say, I want the Holy Spirit, right? I want it. It says in John 7, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, Jesus said. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Say, I am thirsty. All of you at the back, you also raise your hands towards these people, bless them, and say after them so they don't feel alone. Say, Lord, I am thirsty for more of Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. I do confess him as my Lord and Savior. Now, Lord Jesus, I am thirsty for more of you. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit and give me the gift of tongues so I can pray in the Spirit. By faith, I open my mouth and I breathe in and receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I thank you through the blood of Jesus. I can receive this gift of God. Now, open your mouth by faith and breathe in. Close your eyes and breathe in. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I praise you and I thank you, Father. Now, just start thanking him. And if you are, just don't think about it. Just thank him. And don't think in English. Sing to him and worship him. Praise you, Jesus. Come over here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Come over here, baby. Thank you, Father. Impartation. Yes, Lord. More. Breathe in. Thank him. Close your eyes. It's between you and the Lord. Yes. And the helpers come and lay hands on them too. Some impartation, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. Some are really getting teary here. It's the Lord coming over you. Hallelujah. Amen. Give these guys a big clap, will you? The ones came over. Alrighty, guys, you may go back. Now, those of you who came here, in a moment, I'm going to lay hands on different people. So what I want to do right now
is change a little bit of the gear because we are going to where I was going to take time to lay hands on people. And so I'm going to dismiss those who need to be going. You're not going to insult us or offend us in any way if you want to slip out. But we are going to go to stage two in this so that I want to, yeah, we're going to bring the children and lay hands on them and bless them. And then after we pray for them, we will pray for those who need laying on of hands here. And I'll be happy to do that. So we bring it the children. Thank you. Also, I see someone, if that's had some, you need your immigration papers, and you've had some struggles there. Who is it? We're going to pray for that release. Huh? Citizenship. Huh? Yeah? Oh, is she? Well, I'm telling her, well, tell her I see an angel that's bringing some, and officially signing and stamping. And she's getting it. Right now, it's almost like it is at hand. All right? The blockage is being unblocked right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we are waiting on the children. if some of you, right, while we are waiting, is there some, your father has, or your mother or father, they are battling severe memory loss or Alzheimer's. Are they here? Are you here? That you're taking, having to take care of or helping someone with Alzheimer's problems? We had an amazing miracle in Louisiana. And the report we got just a few months ago, we prayed for her. He had prayed for him. He had lost almost all. Well, he had Alzheimer's, lost his memory. And that's one of the unique, amazing, he got everything back. His memory was totally restored. And it was astounding. He was so grateful. So we, some of these we thought were impossible. We are seeing, just so don't get discouraged when you see some of this. All right, are the children here? They're headed this way. All righty, praise God. And there's someone with either, there's a metal in your body, you've had surgery, and that situation is really giving you discomfort. Where are you? Is that, you have some metal? Yeah. While we are waiting, come on up here. I may need someone. Hi, honey. Good to see you again. Where was it? In your knee?
I have a rod in my leg.
Yeah.
An artificial knee.
And is that hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, I feel like God says it's not going to hurt anymore in the name of Jesus. Lord. Thank you. It's going to fill you with a fresh dose of joy and blessing. Thank you. You're a woman of faith. Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, amen.
Give me a hug. Amen. Bless you. Hi, guys. Is that little ones? Come on over here. I see only big ones and one little one. Hi. Are you standing in for her?
That's my daughter.
That's your daughter.
This is Isaac.
Liza?
Isaac.
Oh, Isaac. Yeah. Anything special for him or do you want to just bless him? Huh?
Isaac is deaf. He has cochlear implants.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a lot of faith. And he's what, about how old? Huh? 1 year?
1 year.
Yeah. Great. You got oil? Give me extra. Amen. Another one too. He's bringing us out with silver.